A new chapter in Australian political history begins today when the 47th Parliament sits in Canberra for the first time. The Albanese government faces some of the biggest challenges of any incoming administration, including soaring inflation, rising interest rates, a climate emergency and resurgent pandemic. And there's already signs they're prepared to compromise on their signature legislation to enshrine an emissions reduction target of 43% by 2030. Shane Wright is the Chief Economics Correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. And our guest this morning, good morning, Shane.
Good morning, and it could be worse. The James Scullin government was elected the day before the collapse of the Wall Street in 1929.
It could be worse.
It could be worse. And look, unemployment hit 30%. It tore apart the Labor Party back then. So Anthony Albanese and Jim Chalmers could just say, look, this could be worse.
This could be worse. But so long ago that they can't talk to any contemporary leaders about how to deal with this. Labor has reportedly indicated it's prepared, for instance, to create a target as a floor, not a ceiling. Is that a significant compromise they're offering to start with on its signature legislation?
I don't know if it qualifies as peace in our time sort of change in direction, but because at the end of the day, the government's policy is to hit 43%. So if you say, right, okay, we can say that will be the minimum, it's not the greatest amount of skin to lose off, and it actually shows a little bit of good faith in the negotiation process. You do remember, look, Chris Bowen, a former treasurer, and Anthony Albanese,
former shadow treasurer.
No, Chris Bowen, former treasurer.
He was, very briefly.
For 6 weeks, yes.
Very briefly.
You've got Anthony Albanese, who managed the government, the Gillard government, through not having a majority, and you've got Tony Burke, who managed your opposition business for a very long time. They do know a little bit about compromise and how to give and take to get their agenda through. So I think that shows you, yep, we can make those sorts of changes early. And I also think from, say, the Greens' perspective and Adam Bandt, what they've learnt from 2010, despite like all the arguments about what happened, 2013, it all went.
Mm.
A change in government killed all of what they thought they'd achieved at that time. So I always think of Gough Whitlam, only the impotent are pure, his line, and that's where you get to.
The coalition met yesterday, Shane, but there doesn't seem to have been much discussion of this legislation or a settled position. Could we still see some MPs cross the floor to back this legislation?
I think that's a definite possibility that some of them may change, and it will depend on where they actually sit in the countryside. Like those in urban areas will have seen what happened to people like Katie Allen and Josh Frydenberg and thought, rightio, perhaps our voters want us to be a little bit stronger in that space.
Yeah, and the symbolism of them voting against this reduction could be quite potent and used against them at the next election, right?
You could see that coming like a truck through a tunnel. It really could be. And that's one of the things, say, the review that the Liberal Party is going to be doing into its electoral devastation will be going, right, how do we trade off? We talk about inside the Labor Party, there's a broad church of views. The Liberal Party is a very broad church, and then tack on the Nationals.
Church of all.
Well, even within the Nats, there are those who lean towards, look, yep, we have to deal with this. As we talk about the new Parliament, the fact that there's so much liquidity going on in terms of the views of those who've been defeated is really interesting.
Now, the government is also preparing to scrap the Building and Construction Watchdog, the ABCC as it's known. Independent Senator David Pocock agrees they have a mandate, but wants it replaced with something else. Could this be more difficult than Labor was expecting?
Well, getting rid of it might not be that hard, but what you come up with or where you end up with the laws that underpin it, because at the moment you've got the head of the ABCC sitting around twiddling thumbs on about $450,000 a year. Good work if you can get it, but not stopping union stickers being put on helmets. The whole, you and I are old enough to remember when this was put in place, the whole argument that this would boost productivity and the last five, well, since its reincarnation, has just failed in that space. Productivity inside construction has gone backwards. So how you come up with a way to deal with misuse of both union and employer power, I think David Pocock is scrummaging, may I use that term, for David Pocock, around an area that both sides would probably think we've got our own set view. But again, this is that issue of the liquidity of views that's floating about.
Two other issues I want to discuss with you. Another of the government's key pieces of legislation is a bill to give up to 10 days paid domestic violence leave. Is that expected to pass fairly easily?
It'll be interesting to see because we have to get this into the Senate, where there'll be a bit of a discussion at a committee level to tease out some of the views, because at the moment you can say that, but how you introduce it and what sort of impact, you may tease out some issues. But I think you could see that one getting through with Green support through the upper house.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow, we're going to find out just how much inflation has risen by in the last quarter. All the forecasts out there are well above what the RBA predicted just a few months ago. And on Thursday, the Treasurer delivers his economic update. What should we expect from all of these set piece economic moments this week?
Yeah, this gets you to that, like an issue that was key through the whole election campaign and has been since the start of the year, which is cost of living. The ABS tomorrow will probably show inflation running 6.2, 6.3, on its way perhaps to 7 by year's end. I've seen forecasts of closer to 8 by year's end, and then rapidly falling away. Anyone who goes shopping will know that this is what's going on. In fact, just this last week, the petrol prices, people have been talking, like there's been this pressure coming from certain quarters. Oh, you've got to keep the fuel tax excise cut in place. Petrol prices fell by about 10 cents a litre across the country last week. So it's that again is moving. But in terms of the key plays this week, inflation tomorrow feeds directly into Chalmers, who is going to try, as all treasurers should, scare the pants of everybody at the start of the term to give them the wherewithal for this October budget that's coming through. So inflation's actually not too bad for a budget. It means a bit more money coming through. The states will be getting that through GST. That's one way it'll flow. But in terms of Chalmers, it's trying to get that agenda of, right, we need to get the budget under control. And so inflation will be, one, the story from Chalmers on Thursday. Two, the Reserve Bank Board meets next Tuesday. Everyone should be expecting another at least half a percentage point increase in the cash rate. On the Friday, the Reserve Bank's own forecasts come out. And so that will give us a whole picture of where we're going to head into the budget and how the cost of living debate is probably going to play out over the next 12, 18 months.
Shane Wright, thank you for coming in and letting me pick your brain.
Always a pleasure, my dear.
Shane Wright is the Chief Economics Correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, joining us early this morning to give you a taste of what the first sitting week of this new Albanese government will look like.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.